If you have your Bibles this morning, amen, if you would turn to the book of 2 Kings. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. And let's look at verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. You find it, say amen. 2 Kings 5 and 1. Amen. Come on, brothers. Y'all, come on. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, this morning. The king of Aram had a great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. And this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel. And among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him, "and I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, ten sets of clothing. And the letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about this morning, if y'all give me a few minutes, and we're going to lead up to lying. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Woo! You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. My brothers and sisters, here in the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 5, we see that there is, amen, a great warrior, a great man, a leader that we're particularly talking about. Verse 1 says that the king of Aram had a great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army. Amen. At this time, are the young kids, Mila, do you have something for the young kids this morning? Okay, all right. All right. And the Bible goes on to say that because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories, but through Naaman was a mighty warrior, and he suffered from leprosy. What we know about Naaman is that at this particular time, the person that was in total command was a man by the name of Ben-Hadad II. And he was the king. But the second in command of the whole nation was a man named Naaman. Second in command. That's pretty high up, wouldn't you think? over the whole kingdom, of a whole regime, but the Bible says that he was a leper. So he had prominence, he had power, but he also had a problem. And so many of us this morning, my brothers and sisters, maybe on our jobs, amen, maybe in our walk of life, we have a little bit of power. Even though Naaman had power, he had a problem. Amen? And all of us, my brothers and sisters, have a problem. But Naaman suffered from an awful problem, and it was leprosy. Now, if you go down to verse 2, you'll find that Naaman and his army had gone in and conquered and had invaded the land of Israel, and one of their captives was a young girl that served as Naaman's wife's servant. And I'm trying to set this thing up so y'all can see really what we're dealing with here. So this is, can you see the big house that they live in? Can you see the fancy car parked outside, the water fountains, amen, with water and the ducks going across the yard and a big lake behind? These people, they're somebody. But the man of the house has a problem. And in his life, he is, during battle, he is taken captive of a young girl that looks like Ashley. Come here, Ashley. Come on. Don't she look pretty? She had Easter two Sundays in a row. So the young servant girl, even though she's a servant, as I look at my book, it says that in verse 4, so Naaman told the king, well, verse 3, one day the girl said to her mistress, said to the woman, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So the little girl, even though she had been taken captive and as a slave by Naaman, goes to the wife and says, I wish he would go and be healed. See, she remembered where she came. Even though she was in captivity, she still showed love. Amen. The Bible says, bless your enemies. Love your enemies. Amen. So even though she's Naaman's little slave girl, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Back in the homeland, she was trained up the right way. Some of us forget where we came from. And we want to pick and choose who we want to love and who we want to care about. But even though she was a slave, she showed love. And she knew where he could get some help. Because obviously he'd been looking for some help. Go ahead, Ashley. Thank you, Ashley. Let's give Ashley a hand. Verse 4 says, so Naaman told the king, now what, look at this. Naaman had a problem. Naaman knew he had a problem. Now many theologians say that Naaman's leprosy was in one spot. It wasn't all over him, but he had this issue. He had this one spot on that just wasn't right, and he wanted so bad for this spot to be fixed. So obviously he had gone around, he had talked to some other people, kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm just kind of adding, this is Shannonology here, that he had sought help because he had money, he had power, he had prestige, right? And this little girl from Israel that was brought up in a believing household that knew who God was, even though she was in captivity, said, I know where he can get some help. Every once in a while, my brothers, we got to bless our enemies. Hallelujah, somebody. We got to tell somebody where they can get some help from. And then Naaman wanted to be healed so bad that he took the information that he got from a slave girl that he had taken captive to the king. Did y'all see that? You never know where your blessing's going to come from. Hallelujah, somebody. You get what you get, but don't throw a fit. That's what they say at my little girl's daycare. So, he said that the young girl said, go visit the prophet. And then the king said, you know what? I'm going to send you a letter. And not only am I going to send you a letter, look how God works. He works in mysterious ways. Did y'all see that? He said, I'm going to send you a letter. And then he said, you know what? Not only am I going to send you a letter, but you know what? Let's dig some stuff out here. Let's take them a gift. Let's take the prophet something. Oh, y'all stay with me this morning. Now, this may have to go a couple of Sundays. So, the New Living Translation breaks it down and says, so he started out going to get some help, carrying 750 pounds of silver. 750 pounds. Did y'all see that? 150 pounds of gold and 10 sets of clothes. He had them new Coogee jeans, and had them Miss Me jeans, had that Armani suit, had that new coat. What's the new one? What Nicki Minaj she rap about? What's it? What's the purse that she talks about? What is it? Michael Kors, yeah. Had some of those. He had all the newest in the front. Had the new Jordans. The one that ain't even come out yet. And he headed out to go get a blessing. He had just to see if this little girl knew what she was talking about. See, the problem is sometimes, my brother and sister, we'll miss out on blessings because we don't want to listen to nobody. Can't nobody tell me nothing. But I'm glad that Naaman listened to this little girl. Look at it. The king sent the letter and said, listen, I want you to heal this man of his leprosy. He says, I present my servant. Verse 7 says, when the king of Israel, and look at this, when the king of Israel read the letter, y'all, you know what he did? Once Naaman got there with the letter, he gave it to him, handed it to him, he took it, and you know, after he read it, you know what he started doing? He started to rip his tear clothes up. He said, because man, this is a setup. They're going to come in here, they're going to kill us all. Amen? Is that what your Bible say that? In dismay. He said, this man sent me a leper to heal. Am I God? See, sometimes the message gets to the wrong people. You got to make sure, God will make sure your message gets to the word it's supposed to get. Amen? He says, am I God that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. So the king is a little nervous, but there was a man of God in the mix. Isn't it awesome when there's a man of God in the mix? Amen? Y'all ought to be glad you got a man of God in the mix. Amen? But when Elijah, the man of God, heard, I'm in verse 8, that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. He said, why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. Hallelujah, somebody. See, a real man of God will stand up on God. When it's time to do work, he'll stand up and say, are you sick? We're going to pray for you. You're going to be healed. Amen. When you feel like that relationship is over, we're going to sit God on it. Amen. Oh, this is good stuff. Watch this. Verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger out to him with a message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Did y'all see that? Then your skin will be restored. You get what you get. Then you don't throw a fit. Look at verse 11. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he was certainly to come out and meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. I thought he was going to do some hocus pocus. I thought he was going to pull out the rag and he was going to pull out the oil and he was going to oil me down. How can he disrespect me? I've come down here. I'm second in command in my country. I'm somebody, and he's going to send a servant out to tell me to go dip myself in the Jordan River? Wait a minute, Naaman. Yours was filtered through the servant too. Nothing wrong with being the servant. Hallelujah, somebody. Nothing wrong with being the servant, because the servant can carry some good news. Amen? Are y'all rolling with me this morning? I know it's right. It's right out of your book, and that's what we ought to teach and preach the word, because it's going to help somebody this morning. You get what you get, you don't throw a fit. So however God intends to bless you, you better let him bless you. Amen? If God intends to bless Orange Chapel through Pastor McGuire, y'all better let me do it. Amen? But Nate became angry. He walked away and said, you know, I expected him just to come out. He had to do something. And he said, you know what? Verse 12, he says, aren't the rivers of Damascus and Banna and the Pharpar and better than the rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in rage. You get what you get, you don't throw a fit. So see, he got upset because he sent the servant. I said, wait a minute, you're not even going to come face me. You're not even going to come touch me. You're not even going to wave your magic wand. And then you're going to tell me to go and jump in the Jordan? Sometimes God will tell us to go jump in the river. See, he didn't want to go to the Jordan because, y'all, the Jordan was kind of nasty. The Jordan was kind of stagnant, and the water didn't move very much. Y'all know what stagnant water is, don't you? Amen. Don't move much. Remember last year when it didn't rain, the lakes got stagnant. They had been sitting for months and months and no water. So bacteria started to grow in them, and nobody could go out and enjoy the lakes. He said, man, wait a minute. I could go back home, and there's some better rivers than this. I ain't going down the Red River. That thing is muddy. They call it the Red River. It's dirty. You get what you get. And you don't throw a fit, y'all. But we're gonna get into the whole line part next week. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? See, some of us look for our blessings in these crazy ways. God can bless your situation without you coming up here falling out of this altar. Without somebody hollering, screaming, grabbing him, chokehold, and doing all that. You know, God can work. And you know what? It may take that sometime. Because some folks got some demons in them, and you got to just get them things out. Amen? I'm going to leave that one alone. That's another sermon. But his officers tried to reason with him. And then one of them said, look at this, he said, but the officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself seven times as a man of God had instructed him. And his skin became healthy as the skin of a young child's, and he was healed. You see, when we look at Naaman and we look at how he was, see, Naaman was a little puffed up. He was somebody. When you really look at this, he was second in command. He got upset because of the way that the prophet came to him. Amen? Is that what your Bible says? That he sent the servant to tell him, go dip. You know, man, just go jump in the river. Can you imagine how that sounded? To a man that's used to giving orders, and now he's taking orders, and somebody's telling him to go dip in a muddy river? God knew that Naaman had to be humble before he could be healed. My brothers and sisters, there's some things that are going on in your life. God is trying to humble you. And once you're humble, he can heal you. Amen? 1 Peter 5 and 5 says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do we not believe that? Naaman had to be humbled. And he's upset because he says, you know what, man, there's also some rivers that are a little bit closer. He had to go 32 miles to the Jordan River from where he was to be healed. Sometimes you got to travel. Sometimes you got to go somewhere to get somewhere. You know what? And I was looking down here, and I was kind of clocking from where I was, and when I got here, guess what? It was 32 miles this morning. I don't know why, but it was 32 miles this morning, amen, to get to my blessing. I don't know about yours. Amen? But by his obedience, though, but when he finally decided to be obedient, some of us don't want to be obedient to God's word. We just want to do our own thing. But when he finally, by his obedience, he demonstrates his faith in God's promise. And the Lord cleansed him from his leprosy because he was obedient to God's promise. When the prophet told him to go down and dip, and you will be cleansed. You will be made whole. You will be healthy again. But he finally did what the prophet told him to do. And by his obedience, you know, he just demonstrated faith in God's promise. And look at this. When we look at Naaman and his attitude and everything that was going on, you know what he lost first? The first thing that he lost was his temper. And when I say lost his temper, he no longer had a bad temper anymore. God was able to move once he got rid of that bad attitude. God can't move in some of us. God can't bless us in our lives because we got some bad attitudes. Honest Chapel, I want to help you this morning. As soon as he humbled himself, when those people told him, that took a few to tell him, but as soon as he humbled himself and said, I'm going to do what the Lord said do, his God said for me to go down and dip in the Jordan, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen? As soon as he lost his temper, he lost the temper. Said, it's out of, then guess what else he lost? He lost his pride. As soon as he laid pride aside, and the Bible said that pride cometh before destruction. Amen? And a haughty spirit before a fall. My brother says, we got to get down off our high horse and humble ourselves. And I'm just so glad that Naaman humbled himself unto a mighty God and a prophet, a man of God. Amen? Amen. And he listened. See, he started out humble, but he threw a fit when he got what he got. Amen? You get what you get, but you don't throw a fit. Y'all gonna roll with me this morning? Now, let's look at this. He lost his temper. He lost his pride. And then, you know the last thing he lost? He lost his leprosy. Did y'all see that? He lost his temper. He lost his pride. Then he lost his leprosy. There's some things in our lives, my brothers and sisters, we need to lose. We need to lose gossiping. We need to lose backbite. We need to lose lying. We need to lose cheating. We need to lose stealing. We need to lose coveting. Woo, and that's what we're going to get in that lie next week. And we're going to talk, boy, this brother here, well, he saw something he liked and he had to go get it. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. We got to lose some stuff. We got to lose that player mentality. Don't nobody want you. Yeah, now she was checking me out. No, she wasn't. She wasn't thinking about you. Yeah, he gonna like this today. Mm-hmm. We ain't looking at you. Sit down somewhere. I'm sorry. We gotta lose some stuff. Pulling your money out, counting it. You owe the dope, man. You gotta get it all back to the man you bought the dope from. You ain't rich. You just holding that for somebody. I'm balling out. No, you got them rims from Rent-A-Tire. You don't even own the rims you're driving on. You got to lose some stuff. You got to lose some stuff and to gain some stuff. Man, we want to live outside the instruction manual and do it our own way. That's why all of our stuff end up tore up, messed up. But when we start losing stuff, we lose that pride. We lose that temper. I'm going to tell him. I'll write to somebody out there with a worse temper than you that will bust you in the mouth. You're going to replace all in front. And I'm going to tell you, don't, you better quit bullying people because scary people will hurt you. Scared people will hurt you. You better lose that attitude because somebody out there will break you down. They scared before they know it. Pow, all your grill gone. That's a fight too. You didn't win that one. I got a few licks in. Y'all hear everybody say, I got something in. No, you didn't. You better lose that attitude. And pride, that's all pride too. And a haughty spirit. You run around with your chest stuck out. It was a dude, man, I was in high school. It was a dude who used to walk around the house holding his breath all the time. I was scared one night he ran up on me. Bow! Y'all don't believe I did that day. I was scared. You know what? I whooped him so bad. I went down there the next day and somebody, man, I said, man, come get in the car, man. Let's talk. He said, nah, man, don't get in the car with me. He's going to whoop you again. I was scared. I could whoop that boy out. Jesus, help me, Lord, help me. I leave people alone. You got to lose. And he bullied everybody. Tony, I put it on him. But I didn't want to fight him that second time. I was scared. So I put him in the car. I started using my mouthpiece. I said, look here, dog. Man, we shouldn't be acting like this. We brothers, man. We young black men. We can't be fighting against each other. You know, Martin Luther King would like this. I said, but if we're going to fight, man, you're going to go fight out in the street. We're going to go out in the country and just me and you one-on-one. We home projects was out there. One dude said, man, I ain't never seen nobody fight like that. Man, you was fighting and running at the same time. Turn him up. Leave scared folks alone, but we gotta lose that though. You know what? Because the thing about it is, when you all, this dude bullied everybody. You know, and I didn't want to fight him. But I'm scared, says Roberta. You know, Satan, y'all, is a bully. He's a bully. And I'm gonna leave that alone. Get back on my sermon. I want to tell y'all I won one fight. Apparently, hey, guess what? You know what? When you whoop Satan, see, you know, man, leave him alone, man. Don't mess with him after that. I didn't shoot that. Nobody mess with me after that. See, some of us keep on. Never mind. I'm gonna leave. Let's move on. Talk about Naaman. Look what he did too. Look what he did, and Naaman. And his entire party went back and found the man of God after he was healed, right? Did y'all see that? He was healed. Verse 15 says, then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now I know. Uh-oh. Look at this. You get what you get, you don't throw a fit. And look at the blessing from God, and look what God can do in somebody's life when you are obedient to what God tells you to do. He said, go jump in the river. He went and jumped in the river. Even though it took a little bit of encouragement, that's what I do. I come to encourage you every Sunday morning. And guess what? You can make it. You can do it. Satan ain't nothing but a big old bully. And if we have God on our side, we can defeat him. Amen? Amen. Y'all better roll with me. I'm almost done. I'm done. And then, look what they did, though. The entire party, that means his whole entourage, all of his homeboys, all of his carriages, and all the king's men, they went back. They went back in verse 15. They went back to find the man of God, and they stood before, and look what Naaman said. Now I know that there is no God in all the world. Hallelujah, somebody. Look what God did. When you don't throw a fit, when you get yourself right, look at this. Look what he did. Look what he said. Now I know there is no God in all the world. Did y'all see that? No God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept this gift from your servant. He said, you know what, man? Your God is the true living God. You know what's awesome is when we exemplify Christ-like character and other people can see it in us and other people believe just because of what we did and because of what we said. Did y'all see that? But wait a minute. Elijah, he says, he wanted to give him all of these gifts, that 150 pounds of gold, that 750 pounds of silver, them 10 suits, all that Armani and Gucci and Coach, Dooney and Birkin, what's the other name? All them other name brands, Polo. Amen. Y'all don't wear heel figure no more. He said, if I'd have known they were going to wear my clothes, I would have never made them. Y'all remember that? But look at this. So he said, accept this gift. But look what the man of God did. Verse 16. Now I'm going to make some preachers mad if they're listening to this on the website. But Elijah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. See, a whole lot of preachers all there about money. Pastor Gibby. See, Pastor Gibby, Pastor Gibby check the pockets when you come into church because he don't want no change in the church. He just want money to fold, amen? But Elijah prayed, surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. And though Naaman urged him to take the gifts, Elijah refused. But you know what? There was a reason why he refused. There's a good reason why he refused. But Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load two of my mules with the herb from this place and take it back to my home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing, whether my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god of Rimmon to worship there or leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow to him. And then Elijah said, go in peace. And Naaman started home. See, Elijah was smart. The prophet was smart because he said, you know what? Even though you are offering me this money, even though you're offering me these gifts, you're offering me all this gold, this 750 pounds of silver that I could really do something with. I could upgrade the temple. I could do all. He said, no, you know why? Because if I accept your money, that's going to make me no better than the rest of these soothsayers running around here. Amen. You give me $20 and I give you a $40 blessing. Amen. So he stood on who God is. It don't cost a thing. This thing that God has for us, my brothers and sisters, is free. Amen? If we put ourselves in a position and line ourselves up with the word of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Wait a minute. How in the world, why would God take leprosy away from this Gentile? Did y'all see that part of it? Naaman was a Gentile. And we know that the children of Israel, those in Israel and the Gentiles, they just didn't get along. Because the Gentiles are those that didn't even know God. They didn't believe in God. But looking through a little servant girl, looking through little Ashley, what started out and what took action at this point in time. Naaman was a Gentile. Naaman kidnapped a little Jewish girl. Let's look at Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy. Why? How could God bless a man that was a Gentile that had kidnapped a little girl and that also had leprosy? How could God do such a thing? My brothers and sisters, I want to help you out this morning. No matter what you've done, look at Naaman. He had fought against God's armies. He had taken one of God's own chosen chip. But you know what? God blessed him anyway. So no matter what you've done, guess what? God can bring you out. God can clean you up if you will just follow the instructions. The problem is most of us don't want to follow the instructions. Whether it be the instructions we read, the instructions that the Holy Spirit just put in your heart, or whether it be what the preacher and the teacher is trying to preach and teach to you. Follow the instructions, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes it takes a little bit of encouragement. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because you know what? We are all supposed to be encouragers of one another. Not beating each other up, not breaking each other down, not judging one another, but to encourage. And all those who were with Naaman, even though they were Gentiles also, they said, Naaman, you need to believe this. You need to trust this. And who put that spirit in them? Nobody but the awesome, mighty God that we serve put that spirit in those people to say, Naaman, go do what the man of God said do. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. He goes, you get what you get, you don't throw a fit, you go jump down in that muddy river. You come down this old muddy church. God can fix you if we just follow the instructions. I don't want to be like, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. Does that make any sense to y'all this morning? Neighbor tried to throw a fit, but I'm glad that he came on around and allowed God to do what he had set forth to do. Amen? Amen. My brothers and sisters, you have been warned. You have heard the same thing over and over. You know, a lot of us, the reason why we can't move forward is because we fail to forgive. How many times did the Bible say to forgive? Seven times what? 70 times. How many times is that? 490. 490. It's not 490. Well, I'm not good at math. You look it up on your phone. You can tell me right quick. How many is that? That is. Yeah, that's what I'm talking. We have to have forgiving hearts. That's a whole lot of times, isn't it? 490 times. Woo, thank you, Candy. What we on, 489? Got one more left. My brothers and sisters, God wants to bless you just like he blessed Naaman. Whatever you have going on in your life, he wants to clean you up today. Amen? I want to set this thing up today, and we're going to finish it next week. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. I'm so glad that he listened to somebody. See, the problem with some of us is we don't want to listen to nobody. Well, I don't like him. I don't like her. Well, get on my nerves. But if God can use a little slave girl just to plant the seed, he can use anybody. Amen? God wants to use all of us. Orange Chapel, we're going to be great. We're going to be great. Because you know what, y'all? We get what we get. And we don't throw a fit. Let's just ride the boat. Some snakes, some rats, some cats, some birds, some monkeys, some hyenas think everything funny. But let's just stick with the ship, amen? And let's take care of one another. Can we do that on Chapel? I want to be great. But there's a flip. All the story continues next week. Y'all going to be here next week to hear the rest of it. But we're going to talk about how far what a lie can do to you. Amen. Tell you, bring your friends next week. Tell you, we're going to talk about what a lie can do. Amen. Because a lot of us lie to ourselves. We lie to other folk. And we lie to God. And you know what? I don't want us to be in either one of those categories. Amen. Amen. You get what you get, you don't throw a fit. Guess what? You're going to get out of church at 12:35 today. Don't throw a fit. Amen. Let's get a Lord a hand clap of praise. It may not seem like anything. Coming down this little rain, may not seem like it. This may seem just like a joy. This may seem like a little muddy water. You say, well, I can go to this fancy church over here. But you know what? It ain't about that. It's where God placed you. Amen? You get what you get, you don't throw a fit. And guess what? We can be blessed right here on this little ship together. All because where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Amen. We gotta have love. Amen. Amen. If there's anyone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to serve notice to you today that Jesus Christ gave his life for you. You were a sinner. You are a sinner. But you can be saved by grace, by the grace of God. By him shedding his blood, there's no more need for sacrifice. There's no more need to kill a whole bunch of animals because God gave his life. He shed his blood for you and I. Amen. He died on the cross and he rose again. And the Bible says with all power in his hands. And all we have to do is accept him as our Lord and Savior, admit that we are sinners, admit that he is the Christ, and knowing that he's the Christ, the resurrected, the true and living God, amen, we shall be saved and we shall return and go back to heaven with him. Anybody want to go? I want to go. Amen. Amen. I just bid you, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, to do that today. Neighbor, ask your neighbor, are you saved? Gentlemen, answer me. If they don't say yes, amen, just point them better and I'm on my way. This is serious. This is very serious. Amen. Because I want to go see Jesus. Somebody say, when I see Jesus, amen. No more sorrow, no more heartache, no more pain. Woo! When I see Jesus, it'll just be amen. Hallelujah. Anybody this morning would like to become a member, amen, of the OC, of the mighty Orange Chapel Baptist Church, amen, where God is everything and we're nothing. We're just trying to do our best. We realize that we're saved by grace, but you know what? We try our best to live the best that we can live all day, every day. We strive to be A-plus Christians. Amen? I realize we got some B's, some C's, some B's. But guess what? Ultimately, we're all going to graduate and get there. I tell people all the time, I believe that we are saved by grace. I know that. But you know what? I try my best to live as if we're under the law. Amen? That'll just help you out. Amen. We got to do what the Lord says do. All right. No, anybody for rededication this morning that would like to rededicate your life to Christ, start over brand new today. Say, I'm going to do better tomorrow than I did today. I'm going to do better next month than I did last month. I'm going to do better this year than I did the year before. All right. None come this morning, but there is still room. I realize there was not a hooping and hollering sermon. You're like, Pastor, we could have read that ourselves at home. That's what God wanted me to give you today. And then we're gonna flip the script next week though. How great the story can turn into a tragic story if you don't do what you ought to do. Woo! Make sure you're back next week. Amen. Amen. God is good. All the time and all the time. Amen. Let's stand and go home. Tell somebody you love them this morning when you get out of church. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father God, we thank you for your people. We thank you for your presence. Father God, we realize that we're sinners saved by grace, and we thank you this morning. We thank you for shedding your blood on that old rugged cross, Father God, for the remission of all of our sins. Lord God, we ask you to be with us this week as we travel to our various destinations, whether it be home, whether it be work. We ask you, Father God, to be with our families. We ask you, Father God, to be with our friends. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are in prison. We pray for those, Father God, who don't know you and are pardoned of their sins. Father God, we pray for every church that stands open. Father God, that is standing on your holy and divine word. Father God, we thank you for just looking past all of our faults, Father God, and seeing our needs. We pray for families, that families will become stronger, that fathers will become better fathers, that husbands will become better husbands, that mothers will become better mothers, and wives will be better wives. Father God, that our young people, Father God, will keep you number one in their lives. Father God, we just give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, and thank God. You are dismissed. Hug somebody, tell them you love them this morning. I want to...